The week in new music.
And the world's best releases.
2012 with Kaz Tran.
On Triple J.
You're on 2012, the new releases show with me, Kaz Tran. Do you remember this song? Is the fantastic sounds of The Rats by The Walkmen, taken from their second album. The Walkmen have been around for a bit over a decade now. They're a New York band whose output has been consistently critically acclaimed over six albums. Their newest record, Heaven, and a title track see the band enjoying where they're at in life, which is very nice to hear. They've recently been doing shows celebrating their 10th anniversary of the release of their first album. And I asked frontman Hamilton Lighthouser how he felt about doing those shows.
At first, I thought it was kind of going to be a little strange because I didn't know if it was just going to kind of mean... It sort of seemed like we were all about to die, and that was the end of us, and we were saying goodbye, and we were just sort of over the hill. But doing those actual shows really felt, for some reason, kind of legitimizing, and I kind of felt like... We did it right when we were finishing our record, and I don't know, something about it really felt like we had really accomplished something.
You mean with looking back on the debut album, you felt like you'd really accomplished something? Or by 10 years, like 10 years on, you're still together?
By 10 years.
Yep.
I mean, because we hadn't really thought of, it had been a long time, but it really put it into focus. For some reason, it really felt like legitimizing. Like, we actually had accomplished, we still struggle, it's still... We're still a band that is hopefully on the rise. We always want to be doing better than we're doing. But at that point, it really feels like, well, we did that. We did accomplish that, and we're still here.
So what would you put it down to, Hamilton, that you guys sort of consistently put out high-quality, critically lauded albums? What would you put it down to?
Just being able to put up with each other. I guess it's because we were friends first. We've all known each other for really much longer than this band. This band has been 10 years, but we've played with each other in different configurations for more like 20 years. And I guess we just reached it. I guess that we have a pretty solid friendship that, honestly, it's not easy, just politically, socially, it's not easy to stay together. But I don't know, one way or another we have.
The friendship's obviously a really important bond, and the lyric that you repeat often in the single is "Stick with me, my best friend." You're really hanging on to those friendships, wanting to grow old together and have each other's kids obviously grow up together too. Is that an accurate reflection of where you guys are in that song?
Yeah, we all do have little kids now. So, yeah, we're all family men now.
And you want your children to be each other's family men and friends?
I would like it. We all live in different cities now, so unfortunately they don't see each other very often.
How difficult is that for you guys when you do regroup, which seems to be pretty, consistent given the amount of albums you put out over the years? How difficult is it, or how easy is it for you guys just to switch on and get back into, music-making mode, we're here, let's do it?
Well, I sort of, personally, I do it alone a lot, and I sort of am always doing it. For one reason or another, I'm just continuously interested in it. When you get a little too tired, like for instance right now or something, when you've been touring for a while, it's obviously harder to get motivated to do it. But whenever we're home, I like to keep a regular schedule and I like to always be working. I get too neurotic when I'm not working. I get like antsy and nervous.
Just talking about writing, can you sort of give us any of your secrets for how you're able to write really simple, genuine, heartfelt lyrics that don't come across with, this earnestness and seem overwrought, and they come across as a little bit corny?
I'm like an absolute sap, yeah. I mean, you wonder sometimes where you stand, but I don't know. I've always just been able to only write lyrics that go directly along with music. So for one reason or another, when I hear the demos that we make or just a song that I'll be writing or something, the words just seem to go directly with that. I don't know. Beyond that, I don't have a very good explanation of it, but I always feel like the music is exactly what inspires the lyrics.
Because you write things, there's not a lot of kind of metaphor or trying to work out what you're singing about in these songs. They're very direct and very genuine.
One of the things we're going for on this record is to be able to write these big songs, and then with big, simple messages that on their own are a little bit boring. Like, you know, I'm not your heartbreaker. It's not like it's rocket science coming up with that line. But you put that with the big music and the big chords, and I thought that we really came up with something that was very simple and direct, but huge sounding and happy and something that we were all actually interested in doing, which is not always the case.
That is a very sentimental fella and an excellent band that he's in called The Walkman. More of my chat with Hamilton Lighthouse very soon. This is the title track to their latest album. This is Heaven from Triple J. A bunch of the songs on this album gave me a really strong feeling of 50s rock, so I asked Hamilton about whether this era was an influence for the band.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, we listened to so much 50s and 60s rock. That would definitely be a huge influence on all the stuff we write.
Yeah, I can hear it particularly in those ones. Which one? There was another one toward the end.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
But I would also say there's other more modern influences of people that were also influenced by the 50s, like someone like the Pixies or someone like that on all three of those songs. Those were definitely, I love the Pixies and the way that they write so direct and big, and they have a sort of, in some ways they have kind of a classic feel to them too. So I'd say that they were a big influence on those three songs.
I also read in another interview that you'd said that Frank Sinatra is also a big influence.
Oh, definitely, yeah. He's one of my favorites.
Of all time?
Yeah, I really like him a lot. I mean, I don't like everything that he does, but I like a bunch of his records are some of my favorites, and I think he's got such a great voice. And I read a biography of him recently that I recommend. It just made me like him a lot more. He's a difficult guy. He's not the most likable guy in the world, but his story is pretty interesting, and so after reading that, I got more interested in revisiting a lot of the records that I always liked, and he was definitely very influential in the way that I wanted to sing this record.
I don't know whether this is sort of new kind of vocal territory for you, but, you know, it feels very much like there's a crooning quality to your singing as well.
Definitely.
Yeah,
I mean, one thing I noticed with him is that he sings in a low range. He gets higher, but he sings... A lot of his stuff, even his louder, booming stuff, is really down comfortably right in the pocket of his range. And I noticed after listening back to some of our older records, when we have always written music over the years, I've always been writing stuff that's really, really high.
Yeah.
And really, you know, that was like our sort of our signature sound for a while. But just because of the way that I heard him singing, I thought we got to just, instead of always trying to accommodate the music by moving the vocals around, this time we moved the music around to accommodate the vocals and just to keep that tone. I wanted that sort of bigger, boomier voice kind of leading everything. So we made sure, I was just a lot more careful that the vocals always stayed right in the pocket. And I think that gave us, I think that just changed the sound and the overall vibe of everything that we were doing, actually.
Yeah, okay, so it made it more comfortable.
It's less kind of like desperate sounding, but I think it's a little sort of more pleasing to listen to.
So, I mean, how was that mood for you being so isolated away while you were recording with Phil Eck in the woods?
It was good for us to be that removed. I mean, but I was ready to come home. We were all ready to finish at the end because it was a little bit like The Shining out there. But it was good to not have distractions and not have the internet, and there's no phone. You know, your phone barely works, so you sort of need that this day and age. There's just so many distractions, especially then when you got your family. You just hard to find time uninterrupted hours.
Yes, for sure. And I heard he placed a ban on you guys writing any new stuff or sort of improvising too much while you're in the studio.
He wanted to stick to business, which was good for us because we tend to wander and waste time and noodle around and try to write songs in the studio, which can also be really fun, but I think for this record, that was not the way it was going to work. I mean, he definitely wanted to keep the ball rolling.
That is Hamilton Lighthouse. We're talking about his producer, the band's producer, Phil Eck, and the fantastic album that he worked on for The Walkman. Cracking the whip on them by the sounds of it, which sounds like it had to be done. Here's the last track on the album. It's called The Love You Love, Triple J.